McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1800 50 11 11. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Is it just me, or does anybody else think that Ed Sheeran is one of the most overrated artists of the last decade? I mean, that's an awful Christmas song. We need good Christmas songs, ones that we can dance to, like Fairy Tale New York. What a great song. Slade, Merry Christmas, Mariah Carey. All those ones you hear in the clubs that you can bounce around to at a party. We don't get any of those anymore. Where are they all gone? Why aren't people bringing out new ones? Somebody told me once, by the way, if you're an artist and you bring out a good Christmas song, you're made. Because Noddy Holder, is he still alive? Maybe he's dead, I'm not too sure. Anyway, from Slade, he was getting like, I think it was 750,000 every single year in royalties from Here It Is, Merry Christmas. 750,000 a year in royalties from one song. There you go. That's why Cliff Richard is so rich. He used to bring out Christmas songs every bloody year. Anyway, Health Minister Stephen Donnelly recently was pushing for funding to expand the free contraception. And he was suggesting expanding it to cover 16-year-olds, where it currently covers those from 17, which is currently the legal age of consent in this country. ANC leader Padraig Tobin was among those to clap back at the suggestion, stating that giving free contraception to 16-year-olds is giving a license to underage sexual activity. Now, over the years, many times, we have had politicians, we have had senators, we've had people in this country suggest that we match the UK when it comes to the age of consent. Now, remembering, of course, the United Kingdom's age of consent is 16 years of age, which would be pretty average across Europe. There are lower age of consent. Germany is 15, for example. I think Mexico is probably the lowest, one of the lowest at 14. But anyway, so 16 is about the average. We're 17. We used to be 18. We reduced it going back a couple of decades ago. The average age for losing your virginity in Ireland is 16 years of age. It was 17, but in the last 20 to 30 years, it has reduced by 1 year. So technically speaking, most of us, or most young people now, are criminals. If you want to look at it from that point of view. But I suppose the age of consent is more so a guideline. It's a guideline for when we become mature enough to understand what we're actually consenting to and the sexual what sexual activity is. But should we lower the age of consent to match the United Kingdom? As I said, the rest of Europe, most of them are 15 or 16 years of age. I would suggest, I believe that's kind of very low. You know? I don't know. There's 15-year-olds out there who would absolutely say are mature enough to understand what's, you know, a sexual relationship is all about. But there are 15-year-olds out there who can't tie their shoelaces. You know, so realistically, would you want to give them a license, you know, to have sex? Anyway, my own personal opinion, I would increase it to 21. But that's me. I'm a conservative. So I want to know what you think. Should we reduce the age of consent to 16 to bring it in line with most of Europe? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Stephen, hi, how are you? Now, Stephen, you were on before the break, but you did want to get involved in this conversation, so I kept you there.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I would point out that it wasn't long ago that the homosexual age of consent was 21, while everything else was 18 for heterosexuals.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so like the times, they are changing. Every time I come up with this conversation with anybody, it's just like, I'm not really in favor of lowering the age of consent any lower than it is. Mm. But I'm also not a fucking fool. And I do recognize that there are 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 year olds having sex. You know, it's not a lot of them anymore, but they are going to do it if they are going to do it. And they should be as prepared as possible. That's why, you know, like when
And they're generally not criminalised, right? So, you know, if a 15-year-old has sex
because
with a 40-year-old...
Generally speaking, well, they're generally not criminalised because generally speaking, they're well within their own kind of age brackets. It's
absolutely.
Not like a 12-year-old having sex with an 18-year-old.
No. No, it's a 15-year-old having sex with a 14-year-old or a 16-year-old having sex with a 15-year-old or whatever it is.
Exactly.
So they're generally both underage. So that's why they're not criminalised. Now, reminding people, by the way, if you're 19 years of age and have sex with a 16-year-old in this country, you'll be charged with statutory rape.
It is statutory rape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, should that continue? Because, you know, we are a little bit of an outlier, you know, having our age of consent at 17 years of age, whereas the majority of Europe would be 16 and 15.
Surprisingly enough, I don't think being an outlier on some things is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's perfectly fine and up to ourselves to decide these things. But like when I was in sixth class, I had sex ed. When I was in first year, I had sex ed. When I was in, I don't know, third or fourth year, I think I might have had sex ed, which you imagine I would be able to remember better. But, you know, but I know that I had it. And it was, the idea was to prepare me for the fact that, you know, my body's going to go through puberty, that I might start feeling urges and desires and things like that. And I'm finding people attractive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, like we do all of this for a good reason, to prepare younger children to go through fucking torment of puberty or whatever way you want to describe it. And then into, you know, the understanding that when it comes time to be in a sexual relationship with somebody or just to have sex for the first time, this is an important thing. And these are things that you should consider. And I think all of that should absolutely keep going. And youth work, youth projects, community projects, sexual health clinics, people going into schools to do the talks because the teachers can't fucking do it. All of this should be going on and should have more resources and more staff and more money thrown at it, because we do need it. It is important.
No, you know?
I don't think the age of consent should go down.
As much as you might think, I'm not against sex education in schools as long as it's age appropriate. I'm certainly not against sex education.
Well, obviously, caveat all of what I just said with appropriate age.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important, too, that people have an understanding, particularly boys and girls, about respect and consent and all those kind of things. They're all really, really important. We've seen more so now, actually, when you look at the news over the last week and a half. Anyway, let me just go to Garrett as well. Garrett, hi. How are you doing, Garrett?
Good evening, all. Been a while since we've had a chat, but yeah, this is one that I also feel quite strongly about.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it should be reduced or increased?
No. I would say push it back up to 20. Like, my personal opinion is that in majority of the case, at the age of 16, you are still, even 18, you are still adolescent. You know, like your how can I say, your adult brain hasn't really developed to the point where you are 100% sure what is exactly what you would like, what you would want.
But at 18, you can vote. At 18, you can drive a car. At 18, you can drink alcohol. You know, at 18, you can travel outside the country on your own. At 18, you can do all of those things. So we do trust that people... I know that the scientists say the brain doesn't develop much fully maturely until you're 25, but we do trust that people are adults at 18 years of age, are responsible for themselves.
Well, look, 100% fair enough. So if we do that argument in that sense, I would agree, maybe put it back to 18 from 17.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, if you think about it proper, now, like you said there a bit earlier, there is scenarios where 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds are losing their virginities and stuff like that. But if you really think about it properly, in the case of what we actually know as sex to be in a healthy, strong relationship where consent is obviously very important and not automatically implied, you don't know the difference at that point. At that point, it's just something nice, exciting. Oh, I want to try it. This makes me feel good. Let's carry on because I'm feeling good.
Mm.
So whereas when you're a bit older, a bit more developed and a bit more, how can I say, sure of what you actually like, you'd be able to go, yeah, I know I feel good right now, but this is not something I want to do. So, yeah,
But isn't that why Stephen mentioned that we need to focus very much on education? So when, you know, kids are 15 or 16 in school, that we need to talk to them more about sex, reproduction, consent, all of those things.
Definitely. And like you said there at the end, age appropriate. Yeah, 100%. I do feel like now I don't know how the schools 100% are here. I do have kids in school, but they're still quite low down on the levels and that.
I detect an accent. Where are you originally from, Garrett?
South Africa.
Okay. And I don't know what the age of consent is. Maybe AJ will have a look and see what the age of consent in South Africa is.
If I'm not mistaken, it's 16, actually.
16. Okay, probably.
Yeah, if I'm mistaken, it's 16. But like you said here as well, if you're 18 and you sleep with a 16-year-old, it would be statutory rape, exactly the same scenario there in South Africa. But I will say now, okay, our schools are a little bit different. We work very similar to the American style of it, where you have your preschool, your pre-primary, your senior primary, and then your high school years. So, but when you start your high schooling years at the age of 15, 16, then only then is sex ed really introduced in the sense of, like, this is actually what guys and girls do to make a baby. You know, so it's...
Is that a bit old, 15, 16, or should we be doing that before 15 or 16?
Well, you know what, no, I would say, once again, age appropriate, like start maybe a bit younger, seeing as the age of consent has come down, seeing as we are seeing a increase of younger teenagers exploring, seeing as I'm going to have to, I think a lot of the times I refer back to how technology is in our face and internet and how everything is freely available, you know.
Yeah, see, this is part of the problem. Sorry, and Joe and Neva, which in a second. This is a part of the problem, Stephen, just to go back to what Gareth just said there. The internet has played a huge role in how we must change the way we learn about sex and how we have to change the laws around sex. Because when I was 13 or 14 years of age, I had no access to pornography. The only access I had to pornography was a mate of mine went to London and brought back a Mayfair magazine. And we all thought this was the best thing we'd ever seen in our lives. So much so that I brought it up to the secretary's office in the school while she wasn't there during lunchtime, photocopied the centre page and sold it in the school for 20 pence a page. I was quite entrepreneurial in those days. My own little porn industry in the school. Anyway, the point is, that was the closest, Stephen, we got to pornography, where now... we're reading stories, you know, of kids of 10, 11 years of age with access to pornography on their iPads and their phones, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. It's unavoidable. So that's where it's all changed, hasn't it?
Oh, it has, completely. And I mean, listen, I listen to discussions around it and it's just kind of going, yeah, maybe if we weren't talking about it to kids as young or, you know, explaining what it is as, you know, 12, 13, 14, and how, you know, babies are made and all these other kinds of things, maybe there wouldn't be as much of an interest in it and, you know, it wouldn't have caught on as much. But I think that's a really rose-tinted perspective of it as well, because, you know, society has moved on. You know, I remember passing, you know, news kiosks in O'Connell Street or, you know, the top shelf of a fucking newsagent in the supermarket and things like that. And it's just like, you could see it. This was before they covered the covers.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It's just like, so there was always some kind of a titillation there, something to draw your eye in that was obviously not meant for you.
Well, before porn magazines were legal in Ireland, because they were illegal in Ireland. I mean, they used to sell them in the UK, of course, you know, whatever, I can't remember the names of them all now anyway. But they used to sell them in the UK. Playboy was one of the big ones, obviously. And
obviously.
Yeah, the only magazine we could get... is how desperate we were at 14 or 15 to see a naked woman, right? The only magazines we could get was one called Health and Efficiency. And it was a nudist magazine, a naturist magazine. And it was all, you know, older people of 50 and 60 years of age wandering around on beaches in the Nip. And we thought this is a great magazine. Look, people in the Nip in a magazine. That was the closest we could get to it. Well, hang on, let me go to Joe. Joe, hi, how are you, Joe?
I'm not too bad, and welcome back, Niall. Good to hear you. I hope you had a great holiday.
Oh, I did. I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much indeed.
And you had a good replay. Your what's his name?
Gary.
Done a great
lovely
job
man.
There the last couple of weeks.
Yes, he is. He's a great man. But Joe, the age of consent at the moment it's 17 years of age in this country. And by the way, Stephen was right. At one stage in this country, it was 18 for heterosexual and 19 for homosexual, which was bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't know why they think that two men can't give consent
at
the same
ideas,
age.
Don't get many ideas, Niall. Don't get many ideas.
Okay. So do you believe, is 17 the right age? Or should we reduce it to 16, the same as the UK, or increase it even? What do you think we should do?
Oh, no. Definitely not. Keep it at 20. I keep it at 21, Niall.
No.
I'm old school. Like, I'm kind of a conservative. I don't like the way this, the way things are going in this country now. In the last couple of years, we have all this stuff about trans. You know, this trans stuff going on in schools, teaching young kids how to, you know, masturbate and all that stuff. You know, that stuff, like, that's insane, really. You know, and it's also dangerous for children's minds, because these children, God help us, when they grow older, they might these people, they could turn into some sort of flaming serial rapists. Like, they could start fucking killing one another,
Teaching people to masturbate will turn them into rapists. But however, I don't think we need training on it anyway. From anything else,
And I wouldn't agree with it. Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no harm as part of sex education to say there's nothing wrong with masturbation. That's perfectly fine. Yeah. But I don't think we need training in it. I don't think anybody needed training to masturbate.
Yeah. Hopefully after next Friday, I hope the Irish people will wake up and get rid of all this woke agenda. But of course, as I said to you many times, I wouldn't trust them to fix a light bulb. You know, they'd probably go and do the opposite and vote all these clowns back in again. But then the problem is, we don't have an opposition in this country anyway. So what are you left with? You're left with rubbish, really. But in relation to this, I would be concerned, because I think that you must remember too that majority of children today are not as mature like as they were years ago. Like, they think they're mature because they're on social media and all this stuff, and they're using mobile phones and all this stuff. But like, when you remember, like yourself, Niall, and probably myself, and you know, and you're growing up in the 60s, 70s, 80s, like, you know, things were totally different. Like, you know, we knew how to use our brains, and we knew the kind of dangers in society, where nowadays, like, kids are just going around now, they think that...
In fairness, Joe, I would agree a lot with what you talk about, the innocence of the 1970s and 80s, but we didn't know, like, most of our first experiences of sex was at 16 or 17 years of age. We didn't know what to do with it. Where do you put it? You know what I mean?
Well, I think...
Like, and what are you supposed to do with it?
When I was growing up in the 70s, I think the first time I ever saw a bit of nudity was probably a few films, or probably Dallas or something.
Dallas? Yeah, I don't think it was so much nudity in Dallas.
Yeah, you didn't need sex education with that anyway.
Yeah, here we go, JR. What about that one? Anyway, listen, stay there for a second. I got to go to a break. Niamh, I will come to you straight after the break. The question we're asking, by the way, based on the fact that Health Minister Stephen Donnelly has been pushing for funding to expand the free contraception to 16-year-olds, and obviously Pat O'Toole from Maine too kind of went back at that and said, hold on a second, you're giving license to underage sexual activity by suggesting even that you'd have to lower to the age of consent. And I would agree, you are kind of given license. Well, in principle, you are. You're funding something that's technically illegal. Anyway, the question I'm asking is, should we lower the age of consent? Because the age of consent in Britain is 16. The age of consent, just up the road, by the way, in Northern Ireland, is 16. But it's 17 here. Or is it 16, actually? AJ, will you just check that for me? And Northern Ireland is 16 too. It's the whole of the United Kingdom, isn't it? Just check with me just to make sure I didn't get that wrong. I'll correct myself after the break if I did. All right, welcome back. Let me go to Niamh. Niamh, hi, how are you?
Hi, you know, how are you?
Good, nice to talk to you, Niamh. It's been a while.
You too, welcome back.
And thanks very much indeed. Now, Niamh, age of consent. Let's get some reason into this. I mean, some people would argue that we should be the same as the rest of Europe, more or less, at 16 years of age. And others would say, well, hold on, just because Europe jumps into a fire, should we jump in too? You know, so, I mean, what should we do?
Personally, I'd put it up. I'd put it up to 18. I wouldn't go as far as 21, because for the main reason that you can legally get married at 18, so you can't tell somebody...
Would you legally get married at 17 in Ireland?
Well, yeah, only with parental consent.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, but personally, for me, it's not so much the mechanics of sex that would worry me. It would be more the emotional side of sex. I mean, sex can bring up so many things that somebody of, you know, mid-teens just may not be mature enough to deal with. You know, it's hard enough as an adult, if you really like somebody but they were only in it for, you know, the shag, that's hurtful and that's hard, but we get over it because we're mature, we can deal with it. But if you're 16,
hard. Sex between 16 and 17 year olds is probably for the shag, isn't it, really? There's very little emotional sex. I don't think 16 and 17 year olds are the emotional beings that you think they are.
I think they are. I think you're doing them a disservice, because, I mean, I've got a 15 year old. And, you know.
Is he in love?
He thinks he is. You know?
Okay.
But, like, to him, you see, that's how he feels. You know, we're looking at him, we're laughing, because we know what it really is. But what if he thought that that meant that he loved her enough to have sex with her? And she feels the same, or she didn't feel the same.
But relationships at that age are normally either lustful or infatuation, aren't they, more so than...
Absolutely. Yeah. We know that, but because we have the emotional intelligence to know that, they don't. To them, it just hurts like hell. So I just don't think that, you know... And also, if we're to normalise, or as teenagers, they start normalising sex at, say, 16... There's an awful lot of bullying that can go along with that. You know, a girl has sex and suddenly, oh my God, all the lads are talking about her and all the girls are bitching about her. A lad has sex and he's the legend. You know, there's a lot of that as well that doesn't go on when you're older.
Stephen, is that a fair point that even at 17, 16, 17, you're not emotionally ready to be having a sexual relationship? You know, because it can affect you very badly if things go wrong, obviously.
I'm inclined to disagree. I'm thinking of a couple that got together in my class in like second year or third year, and they're still together. That's 20 odd years ago. Whether they were having sex when they started getting together, I don't know. That's none of my business. But like, they're still together, and I know they have a kid, you know. But like, I think we are doing young people a massive disservice in the sense that they're not, in saying that they're not emotionally ready for it, that they're not. They can't comprehend the importance of sex. Like, sex is important, don't get me wrong, but it is not the be-all and end-all. It is not the preserve of two people who are mad passionately in love with each other and will be together for the rest of their lives. Sometimes sex is a shag, and sometimes sex is the most important thing that you could do with that person because you love them. And whether you're 16 or 66, I think you know how you feel about it most of the time. And this whole notion of trying to up the age of consent is not going to happen. You're not going to get a government stupid enough to try and propose that. And nobody's going to follow it anyway.
Was it right of Stephen Donnelly to be pushing for free contraception for 16-year-olds? Which is essentially aiding and abetting in criminality.
Over the course of his ministry, and... it has never fucking happened. It's a nice soundbite. It gets him a lot of fucking attention. But that's all it is. He has no intention of making this happen. And I will go back to saying, maybe I'm, you know, outing every youth project in the country, but I'd say nearly every other youth project in the country has a cabinet or a drawer full of condoms or dental dams or lube sachets and things like that, because they're there in case a young person goes to an adult and says, I'm thinking of doing this. And I'd like some protection. There you go. Yeah. Off you go.
I'd rather you do it with that, or do it with it or with it.
We'd rather you be safe and understand what you're going through and have a conversation rather than, you know, jump into a hedge with somebody and do all sorts of things to yourself, or like that, break your heart because all of a sudden that, you know, sex that you were having was actually just a shag and you're never really going to see them again.
This has been happening
since you and everyone else were children and your parents were children.
No, it was different in my time than it was in your time. Just like Stephen, it'll be different in a 16-year-old's time than it is in your time now. So,
most likely, yeah.
Yeah, it just... I mean, I was 17 or whatever it was, right? I had no idea what I was doing. It was the most, it was the biggest anti-climax, pardon the pun. It was the biggest anti-climax, you know, because you'd no idea what you were supposed to do. Where is it? Where do I stick it? You know,
it was the same for me.
You know what I mean? I mean, Niamh, I mean, is Stephen right? Are we underestimating young people now who are a lot more, you know, they have a lot more wherewithal than we had when it came to sex education and sex?
Yeah, no, we are. And Stephen made a really good point earlier on. I think the biggest disservice that we're doing our teenagers is the lack of really good sex and relationship education. You know, things that they want to learn, that they need to learn, not just about the mechanics of it, but about the emotional side of it, the physical side of it, the, you know, every side of it. For, you know, for the child in the class that may be gay and can't talk about it at home, we do need it for our kids. And I just don't think they're getting a decent one at the moment. And if Stephen Donnelly wants to put money into something, put it into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
but
know, there's so many kids out there that, sorry, Stephen, but there's so many kids out there, and I'm sick of hearing people saying it's the parents' job. Yes, it is. It absolutely is.
I do believe that up to a certain age, it is the parents' job.
As long as you're a good parent. But what if you're a parent who doesn't believe that anybody should be having sex, say, before marriage, and you refuse to talk to your child about it? That child
You can be a good parent and believe that your child shouldn't be having sex before marriage because that's just your morals and that's just the way you feel, and we must respect that. But you should speak to your children. No, but you should speak to your children about it, obviously, and you should.
That's what I mean.
Educate.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if the problem we're having at the moment is that if the parents won't do it, and the school isn't able to do it, the streets are doing it, and we all know. No matter what age we are, we all know that when we were trying to...
Well, now you're defeating your own argument. Your own argument when you come on was that you want to increase it to 18 because you didn't think they were ready for it. But now you're saying it's happening anyway. So
no, I don't think they're ready. No, I'm talking about the sex education. I don't think they're ready for sex before 18. But I think if we had really good sex education, by the time they hit 18, they'd be well ready for decent relationships and they'd be good functioning members of society. But the problem is that when you're not getting it at home and you're not able to get it in school, you get it from the streets. And now, do you remember when we were kids? Some of the stuff that we were told by our mates, oh my God.
Don't kiss or she'll get pregnant.
If we'd followed those rules, God knows what way we'd be now. So they have to get it from somewhere trusted. Mm. And if it can't be the parents, it should be the school.
Stay there, Bob, with you for a second. Let me go to James just before we get to the break. James, hi, how are you?
How are you, Niles?
Good.
Basic and simple, you got to get with the times. These kids, and when I say kids, they're youngish adults. Like, they're around anyway from a very early age, 13, 14, which is not right, but happens. But 16, yeah, why not? Because if you deny them it, they're still going to do it. And I'm not saying you let them do it because they're still going to do it. But, it's a natural thing in life.
But that's throwing the towel in. That's like saying, oh, well, kids are drinking at 14 years of age, drinking alcohol out in fields, so let's just legalise it. Or the kids are sure smoking at 13 years of age, so why not just legalise it? See, you can't just go
No, no, you're completely not wrong there. Alcohol is a drug. Sex is like emotion, right? And they're going to experience emotions. We all did, this, that, and the other. And I got sexual when I was about 12. And I'm the same age as you, Noel.
You were 12 when you lost your virginity.
Yeah.
And how old was the person you lost your virginity with? How old were they?
I'm around the same age.
I know, that's mad, isn't it? And I know it happens, and it does happen, of course. For an average age, six.
Most young, women can control their sexuality a lot, right? But men have ages, this, that, and the other. And they'll always have them, but it's that controlling them and everything. At 16, it's a fair age. And I think go ahead and do it. It's up to the parents to educate their children more so than anything.
Yeah, but most parents would be horrified. But hang on, James.
It's quite simple to talk to your kids. If you have a relationship with your kids and they know who the boss is in the house, my partner passed away many years ago, over a decade ago. And I have a boy and a girl. And they were 11 or 13 when she passed. And I spoke to them all about that. And I was 21 again, my daughter stopped. She wanted me to go to the doctor. We were all the time going to the doctor now. And some of the things she was saying, she wasn't embarrassed or anything like that because I opened up to her. And I felt more embarrassed than her, but that was the way it was. But yeah, she's fine.
But so can I ask you a question? Who failed? The fact that you had sex at 12 years of age, right? You and your girlfriend at the time or whatever it was at the time. So who failed in that department? Was that your parents who didn't communicate that to you properly, or who failed there?
No, so we were out all the time, as you know, in Ireland. We just boards of the bays and things happened. No. And I'm not going to go home and tell me man and dad, blah, blah, blah. So it was a Catholic country back then where, condoms first came in Virgin Media and bombed tea there.
That's right, yeah.
And it was
mates, they're called.
The smokes was all against that. Now you can't be doing condoms. Yeah, but they're against abortion as well, blah, blah, blah. There's more than half the pills in the system. Stop controlling everything. Everything's getting controlled.
But no, it's not about controlling it. These laws around alcohol, smoking, sex, all of these prohibitory laws, they're there as guidelines to try and help, let young people develop without getting themselves into trouble. That's the main reason for it.
Yeah, but in most countries, 16. Most countries, are 16. You can drive a car in most countries at 16, 17.
Mm-hmm. I know.
When I was 17 or 16, I think it was. And legally, I'm a provisional. The more you suppress people, and they're not only young and they're not quite intelligent enough about robbers, education. That's it. And not woke education or anything like that. Just parents.
But, Jay, but you don't want to race to the bottom either. You know, that 16, okay, we agreed to 16. And then all of a sudden, in 10 years' time, some other minister comes along and goes, actually, let's make it 15 while we're at it. You know what I mean?
You keep complaining that the drugs or drink or alcohol or blah, blah. It's not about that. It's emotion. It's an emotion.
Yeah, but you have to. Yeah, yeah, it is an emotion, but it is an emotion that can make people very vulnerable. So we have to be careful with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, how careful are you going to be? But you, like, if some people that's on the show there said, like, I should be 18. Because you know what? Boys don't really go up fully until about 23, 25 or something like that.
Yeah, girls
go earlier, 19, 20. They're, you know, they know what's what in this and the other. Most of them know what's what. Even at 16 now, they know what's what. It's just like the consequences of getting pregnant. Teenage pregnancy used to be rampant. Do you remember? Like, this is not new. This is, like, old school, like,
Well, teenage pregnancies are almost a thing of the past now, because thankfully, because of contraception. Niamh, what James is saying is reduce it. Should they do it anyway?
I understand that, and I do see his point, and he's making a valid point. I just personally, I just don't know emotionally if they're just ready for what that can bring. You know, it can bring on an awful lot. And just, you know, can we not just keep them kids? Just for as long as we can. And I know some are having sex, but we can't just bring it in for all, for some.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I firmly believe that the schools and parents need to educate. If the parents can't, let the schools do it. So that when they do come upon this, they know what to do. Not just physically, they learn that in science, but emotionally, mentally. How to treat somebody with respect on both sides. How to be decent, you know.
Yeah, but you're kind of saying all the kids are the same. They're not all the same. Far from it. Most of them are very sexual active at 16. And they're like, well, one very important point would be as well that, like, when a young boy has sex with a girl, then he can get charged. That's criminal. But a girl, really, I've never heard of a girl getting charged with having sex when she's 15. Never. Never. I never would, but I've heard of boys.
The boy will generally only get charged if he's over the age of consent and she's under the
age of consent. The average 16-year-old, male or female, the average 16-year-old, male or female, I guarantee you, 80% of them, probably more, are having intercourse.
I'm not doubting that. As I said, the average age for losing your virginity in this country is 16 years of age. That's the average age for losing your virginity. There are the odd ones, like yourself, with sex at 12 years of age. And there are those who won't lose their virginity until they're 20 or 30. And there are some people who live their whole life without losing their virginity. So what I'm saying is the average age is 16. But that doesn't necessarily mean we should have it or set it at 16. Anyway, well, hold on, because I have to take a break. If you want to stay there, you can. I want to go to Pauline after the break. The number is 087-188-0008. Aaron says, now the state mandates that you have to be 17 to get a provisional driver's license for a car, and that you have to be accompanied by an experienced driver to watch over you and advise you as you drive. Navigating human sexual relationships is so much more complicated and difficult than negotiating a vehicle on the roads. If possible, let me on. We'll see, Martin. If we can, we will. I promise you. Let me go to stay there for a second, both Niamh and Stephen, if you can. And I'll come to Stephen in a minute, but I need to go to Pauline first, if I can. Pauline, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. Welcome back.
Thank you very much indeed.
I just kind of agree with the guy that has just made that comment, because it has to be confusing for the child. Can bring another child into the world, but they're not allowed to drive, or they're not allowed to drink, and they're not allowed to vote. And the whole thing is... it's completely confusing for the children, I think. But from the teenagers that I've spoken to, as far as sex education is concerned, and I've spoken to many, they do not want to be taught what they're being taught in the schools today by teachers. And I, for one, as an adult, think what they're trying to teach children who are younger than secondary school age, as in primary, just past toddler age, actually, teaching them in the school today is despicable and disgusting, and it has to stop.
With respect,
we're never going to agree on this, Neil.
I'm not saying I disagree with you. What I'm saying is, we've covered the sex education school quite a lot on the show and on the podcast during the day as well.
I understand.
Let's focus on the age group we're talking about for the moment. Forget about toddlers, right? Let's focus on the age group we're talking about. We're talking about 16-year-olds. right?
Yeah, my comment to your show tonight is, it is not the place of an educational authority to teach your child on anything to do with either spirituality or morality. That is not their place. They are there to teach your children what they refuse to teach them in actual fact, apart from basic maths, such as how to finance a home and different things which they deliberately do not teach them. But that is their job, to teach them the things of the world that they need to know to survive in the world, not the morals or the spirituality that come from the home. That belongs in the home, not in the school.
Okay, I accept your opinion on that. That's fine. In relation to the age of consent, currently it's 17 years of age. I was talking about, you know, this suggestion of reviewing that and bringing it down to the age that it is in the United Kingdom and much of the countries in Europe, which would be 16 years of age. You would disagree with that, I imagine.
No, I don't necessarily disagree with it, because I think it's, again, confusing for... It depends on if you want your children to have a family before they're able to work, drink, drive, or do the other things. We have to decide what's okay for our children. I personally don't have any, but I do care a lot about them. But this probably should be put to the parents, as in a referendum, along with all of the other things that affect children, as in when they should be allowed to drink, when they should be allowed to drive. Those are the things that parents need to be consulted about. Now, what's his name? Simon Baldy Coveney. Is it what's his name?
No, it's not Simon Coveney. It's actually Stephen Donnelly, but yeah.
Yes. What would he know?
I think he's follically challenged as well, but anyway.
Yeah, he is. He's challenged.
Okay. Thank you very much. I don't need a personal opinion on him, right? You don't like him, and that's grand, right? We get that.
No, okay. I don't like him.
Okay, that's fine. And you don't have to like him, by the way. I'm sure he's not looking, you know, for you to like him. You don't have
to. No, I think he's hiding after what he did with the jabbing, including...
Okay, now we're not getting into the COVID vaccine now. We're talking about the age of consent. Anyway, so Pauline, you have no objection to reducing it to 16 as long as children are taught by their parents and they're aware of what they're getting themselves into. Is that what you're trying to say to me?
What I'm trying to say is, Coveney should keep his nose out.
It's nothing to do with Simon Coveney. I don't know why you keep talking about Simon Coveney. Simon Coveney has absolutely nothing to do with this conversation.
Well, he's the one who's trying to introduce...
No, he's not. Stephen Donnelly is the one who's been wanting to introduce contraception for 16-year-olds.
They're all the one at the end of the day. Just get out and vote them all out. But my point is...
Including Simon Coveney.
Yeah.
He's gone anyway. He's not running. Yeah.
The baldy one that pushed the...
Jesus
Christ.
What I'm
talking about. What people should do is, it should be put to people, to the parents, the mothers and fathers in this country of their children. What age is acceptable?
Okay, let me ask Steve. Stephen, would you, and I'll come back to Stephen in a second as well. Stephen, would you agree with that? If it is to be changed, it should go to a referendum. Now, it doesn't have to go to a referendum, but it should, according to Pauline, and we should be asking parents.
Well, you could have an ordinary referendum because it doesn't require any change in the constitution. But we did this 20 years ago with the children's rights referendum.
Mm.
You know, now maybe we should do it every 20 years to keep up with the times and have it as an ordinary referendum. I also would agree with Pauline, take religion out of school entirely. Absolutely. And replace it with, you know, a civics class and a business class and a home ec class and driving lessons and everything else.
I don't think she said take religion out of schools, but there you go.
That no school should be responsible for faith education.
You did say, Pauline, school should not be teaching children about spirituality and morality. That's what you said.
Spirituality is what I said.
Yeah, spirituality is religion.
Yeah, no, but hold on a second. In some schools, in some countries, children are allowed to learn about a faith that is not the predominant faith of the country. And for that reason, I do agree with it.
So you're okay with religion in schools, but you're not okay with teaching relationship education?
Anything to do with that belongs in the home. That is what I said. And if the school doesn't appreciate that, take your child out of the school. Because as far as I'm concerned, my children would only go to and attend a Christian school, which would not, under any circumstances, try to teach anything to do with sexuality, because it wouldn't be their place.
Okay, Niamh, there you go, Pauline. As far as she's concerned, she's okay with religion schools, but certainly not sexuality or relationships.
It only works in the home, as I said before, if the parent
can or is willing to impart
sex education
in the home.
What do you mean willing? Like they have a responsibility.
Yeah,
that they are.
If I can get to the end of my sentence, because you've done a lot of talking anyway.
You're a good parent, or you weren't a good parent. Who are you to judge? Parents don't come with a manual except for the Bible. And I dare say, listening to you,
Pauline, with the greatest respect, there are some good parents and there are bad parents.
And with the greatest respect, who are you to judge as not a parent, if we're going to go down that road?
Whether a parent does or doesn't. You sound like something from the Billy Barry
School. You don't listen. Do you listen?
If they're a good parent or a bad parent.
Do you listen?
I'll lower it down for a second. I'll lower it down for a second. Go ahead.
Thank you. Because you do have, you know, one mouth, two ears, using in the ratio. Good. You can only impart good sex education in. Oh, be quiet for a moment, will you?
Pauline, can you let Niamh just respond? I don't want to keep lowering you down because it's rude of me to do that to you. But just let Niamh respond and then I'll let you respond to her. That's the way it works. Just let her respond. Sorry, Niamh. Go ahead.
You can only get good sex education and good relationship education in the home if the parent is willing and able to impart it. If they're not, the child needs to get it somewhere. They need to get it from a reliable and trusted source, and the next step is education. Otherwise, your child is going to be getting it on the streets with God knows what they're hearing. Not all parents want to talk about sex.
It is up to every parent individually, every family, the head of which I think is the father in a family, which a lot of people don't agree with.
Yeah.
It's up to the family and the head of the household to make sure if they, whatever their standards are, whatever their morals are, or spirituality, or whatever else is involved, that their children are educated sufficiently on those particular topics. And it's nobody else's business.
Okay, you are right. You are 100% right, Pauline. It is up to the parents to teach their children about morality, about spirituality, about relationships, about sex education. But sadly, many parents fail in that duty.
Who said they fail? Who's measuring the failure rate of parents? Tell me that. Who's measuring the failure rate?
In the same rate that you're measuring the failure rate by some parents because of your metrics. That's, you know, the state deemed that because of the things that were going on with sexual health problems, teen pregnancies, and everything else going on, that the state should step in. And that's what they did. The state has the responsibility to all of its citizens to make sure that they're properly educated. And
what the state should do is concentrate on doing what they're put in place to do by the people of this country, who I hope to God un-elect every one of them. That is what their responsibility is to do, not to tell you how to rear your children or how many times they should be jabbed in their lifetime. That's none of their business.
The state is responsible for the safety and well-being of every person in the state. That's their job. And the people on Friday are going to vote whatever way they feel they want to vote in their own best interest.
Stay, Pauline, Niamh, Stephen, stay there for a second. I need to go to Steve. Steve, hi, how are you?
Thank God.
Niall, so can I first off start by saying I can tell that you're being really nice this evening to Pauline. Pauline, get off your high horse for 2 seconds and stop hijacking this topic. This topic isn't to do with your hatred or your agenda against the government. So back the hell off and have the topic. Talk about what we're supposed to be here to talk about. And with that, I'll move on to what we're supposed to talk about, Niall. I've heard an awful lot of people come on here tonight and say stuff like, young people don't understand love. When I think an actual fact that, you know as well as I do, when you're young and you're in love, and they call it puppy love, Niall. Mm-hmm. They say that they called it puppy love. Yeah. And we degrade these young people, you know, saying, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I say bollocks, Niall, to that. And I tell you why, because young love is untarnished love. It doesn't come with the baggage of every other terrible, shitty relationship you've had, or the stresses or pressure of being an adult and having a job and all of this type of stuff. Young people get to enjoy their love with other people, and with other people of their own age, of course. And I think it's very unfair to think that, you know, they don't understand love and it should be the way we say it is. You have to be mature and old enough, you know, to do X, Y, and Z. That's bullshit. I mean, at this moment in time, we have a population crisis, has anybody noticed? You know, and that's because the vast majority of women are not having
kids. Not having children anymore, no, that's true.
Yeah, 38 years of age. You know, in fairness, we need a few of those teen pregnancies about now, don't we?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say the teen pregnancies are a good idea, to be honest with you. That was never a good idea. No. Teen pregnancies have dropped dramatically in the last 20 years. I suppose thanks to, partially to do with education, but partially to do with the fact of the availability of contraception.
Yeah. And the availability, obviously, of abortion.
There's very few 18-year-olds getting pregnant now. Sorry, yeah, Polly.
Stephen is only making reference to the physical part, which he's done on occasion, including describing how he physically imparted himself on somebody in a, I think it was a prison cell. But anyway, we won't go there.
Whoa, hold on a second, Pauline. You said Steve, better known as Steve, because there is a Stephen on the air as well. You said Steve imparted information on how he imparted himself on somebody in a prison cell.
I remember him discussing that on a program.
He was in prison a long time ago, yeah, that's right. But I don't ever remember him just describing how he had sex with somebody in a prison.
Now, the point I was trying to make about Stephen's opinion, he's only talking about the physical and puppy love and this. I spoke about the emotional, Pauline.
That's why I said the word love. Yeah.
Here's the bit you're leaving out, that people have to impart the responsibility that's involved when a baby is made, both schools and parents. But from your perspective, I can see schools are doing that. And from your perspective, you're not addressing that either.
Steve, because I want to just come back to Niamh on what you're saying there, because I've only got a minute or so left. Niamh, in relation to what Steve is saying, he believes that you're underestimating children and teenagers. That they
children, not children, Niall. Don't they're say teenagers. Children, that makes them wrong.
Okay, well, young adults, teenagers, right?
Yeah.
That you're underestimating them, Niamh. That it's, you know, that their love is pure. That their love is unfettered by, you know, mortgages and debts and bills and the complications of being married, owning a house and all those kind of things. It's pure love.
And do you know what? Steve is probably 100% right, and I'll tell you why. Because it is probably my issue more than anything else. My issue with the fact that I've got a 15-year-old son that I just don't want to see get hurt. And I'm probably trying to, you know, pull it back as much as I can. And Steve, you're right. You're 100% right.
Thank you.
There is something incredible. You know, it is pure. It is, as you said, it's not tarnished by the mistakes. It's not tarnished by, you know, my last girlfriend, my last boyfriend cheated on me. So now I'm, you know, gun shy. There's none of that. And it is lovely. I get that. But what I suppose the point I was trying to make was that for me, it's like the sort of the emotional side of it, as you well pointed out. But for me, it's like if they get really hurt or like if, say, my son was mad about her and she wasn't quite so mad about him and they went and had sex and he thought this was the be all and end all and she just thought it was a shag. Wanting to protect them from it.
You're absolutely right, Niamh. You're 100% right. And of course, as parents, we want to protect them from the hurt. But you know as well as I do that every one of them are going to get hurt at one time or another. Okay. Pauline, stop being so rude shouting over everybody else.
I'm just trying to know what she has to say.
The only point that woman that's speaking there now,
Niamh,
has tried to make all night is that the children should be taught sex education in school, and she's just dangling off the end of somebody else's
sure
comment.
Up, will you, for that's all Christ she's doing. Sake.
That's not all she's doing, in fairness. She was talking about her own son.
So, Pauline, I'm voting for Fianna Fáil. You can hear a fucking pin drop.
Pauline, are you gone?
That's not the topic, and I'm not interested in who he votes.
On that note, listen, I have to wrap it up. Steve, Stephen, Pauline, Niamh, thank you very much indeed. You're all very entertaining.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.